We're doing some commentary on the chapter of thunder. Almighty Allah chose this title for this chapter to indicate many things. This chapter was revealed to the Prophet in Al-Madinah, or the illuminated city. Almighty Allah's choosing of this title has an important reason. There are other chapters which have many titles or similar titles or different titles, such as the cow or the bees or the spider or Shiva or the elephant. For example, these chapters which carry the titles of some elephants or some animals tell us that we should study zoology and study natural sciences, physics, astronomy, and other kinds of science. The chapter of Sheba, for example, speaks about dams, especially when we know that the Arab Peninsula contains many deserts which have no plants. The Holy Quran, for example, says, indeed there was for Sheba a sign in their dwelling place. So this dam, for example, of Sheba, is a sign that guides you to Almighty Allah and that makes you love Allah. The Holy Quran does not contain a chapter about ritual dry ablution or about wiping on splints at ritual purification or ablution sometimes. It doesn't mention or doesn't have chapters that have such titles, but it has a chapter which carries the title of the family of Jesus, for example. This is mentioned to make people closer to each other and to eliminate any things that might discriminate people or divide people. This chapter of Ar-Ra'd or Thunder urges us to study physics, astronomy, and the sciences of this space in all its contents of planets, stars, suns, which are so accurate, so precise, so wisely created that it guides you to Almighty Allah's wisdom, greatness, unity or oneness, and it fills your heart with awesomeness of Allah and love for Him. And through the way of science, so these sciences should be a kind of ascension for you to reach Allah's knowledge or to know about Allah. So these sciences which are called modern sciences were at one time or at one point in history basic sciences for Muslims, because our early ancestors were the teachers and the scholars of Europe in science, and they took many of these sciences from the Greek and the Chinese, and those ones took them from the Egyptians and of course modified them and added to them. So these life sciences or these modern sciences are an important part in Islam. They are similar to prayer and ritual ablution and the rulings of prayer and fasting and other kinds of worship. The Holy Quran contains only about 500 verses related to the Islamic law or jurisprudence. All the remaining verses speak about science, the sciences of life, nature, politics, education, upbringing, sociology, psychology, astronomy, physics, and all other sciences. Unfortunately, Islam has been distorted by many Muslims and has been deformed in the thinking or in the minds of many Muslims to the extent we have become a kind of shame on the face of Islam. Many of them separated these sciences from Islam and considered them not to be from Islam. Unfortunately, many Muslims now have become a parasite or a burden on the back of Islam. Almighty Allah starts this chapter of thunder with the verse which says ALM or Alf Lam Mim Ra. These are the signs that guides you to Allah's existence, the signs that teaches you or that teach you how to believe in Allah and that guide you to Allah's greatness. These signs or verses came to the Arabs. They were most retrogressive, most backward nation. They were disunited. They were fighting each other. They were indulged in myths and superstitions. They were colonized by the Romans and the Persians. These signs and these verses of the Holy Quran came to them and imposed knowledge on them and made knowledge and science a part of religion. Not only the knowledge and the science of jurisprudence or the Islamic law or the rituals of Islam. No, every beneficial knowledge and every beneficial science, agricultural or medical or cultural or whatever. And a Muslim should seek all beneficial knowledge, all kinds of beneficial knowledge, whether knowledge of Allah, knowledge about Allah, about His attributes, about morals, about behavior, about agriculture, about economy, about, for example, ending or finishing illiteracy, ending and finishing diseases. Not only the illiteracy of writing and reading, but the illiteracy of morals and behavior as well. There are some people who are educated, but they are illiterate of good morals. They have no good behavior or morals. For example, you wear a sperm in your father's testicle. You wear bulgur or dried crushed wheat, and then the digestive juices of the stomach melted or dissolved you, then this was transformed into blood which went to the testicles of your father, and then the sperm came out and met with the egg which comes from the ovary in the women. Then they were mixed to produce a fetus that was developed by the will of Allah to make you a good and a sound and a perfect human being in your creation. The one who thinks that all this happened with accident or through accidents is someone that we should offer condolences to, and we should console for losing his or her mind. So Islam transformed the Arabs into a very great position in history. Islam is a transformation from poverty into richness, from disunitedness into unity, from fighting one another into love and brotherhood and fraternity. And after that, Almighty Allah commanded Muslims to liberate all peoples from ignorance and to spread knowledge and peace, because in the ancient countries or states, knowledge was restricted to the elite of communities. But Islam came to make knowledge obligatory on every Muslim man and woman. And Islam liberated peoples from poverty. The Prophet, peace be upon him, used to say, anyone who goes to bed with a full stomach, knowing that his or her neighbor is hungry, has not truly believed in me. So these signs of the Holy Quran, or these verses of the Holy Quran, liberated them from oppression and discrimination. The Egyptians used to send a beautiful girl every year to the Nile, thinking that it will not flow if they do not do this as a sacrifice. But the Muslim leader there, when Egypt was liberated, Islam and the leader of Muslims there prevented them from doing so, because that is a myth and a superstition that the mind does not accept. Also in Egypt, at the Muslim era, a Copt proceeded and won over the governor's son. Then the governor's son lashed the Coptic Christian after that horse race. So the Copt traveled to Al-Madinah to complain to Caliph Umar, who was the leader and the Caliph of Muslims, and he summoned the governor of Egypt and his son. And he made the trial and he gave his judgment, which was that the Copt should lash his opponent. So that son of the governor said to the Copt when he lashed him, how do you win over me and I am the son of the two honorable people or parents? So Umar said to the Copt, lash him and tell him what he told you. So there was no racial discrimination, no prejudice in that Muslim state. So the companions of Umar even said, no one of us would have prevented him from doing so, because his son acted unjustly, relying on his father's position. So the Copt claim or case was true. After that, Umar said to the Copt, hit the bald head of the governor of Egypt. But the Copt said, I hit the one who hit me. Umar said, by Allah, if you hit him, we would have not prevented you, because it is his position that was utilized or exploited in this problem. After that, Umar said his very famous statement. It's his historic statement that said, how come that you enslave people when their mothers gave birth to them as free? So these are the blessings of these verses of the Quran. These verses are verses that guide to Allah, that guide to truth, to justice, to equality and liberty. Equality without any discrimination. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, all creatures are God's dependents, and the most loved to Allah is the most beneficial to His creatures. So justice was comprehensive, was overall. Knowledge was for all. Supporting the weak was for all. The Prophet, peace be upon him, used to say that, by Allah, if my daughter Fatima committed the same crime of stealing, I would have also cut off her hand, as narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari. So, in our modern time, despite all mottos and all claims of modern communities and modern states, they do not practice what the Muslim state did. They did not reach that level. So, by such verses, Muslims and the Arabs particularly were glorified. And unless we bring our youth up on these teachings, and unless we bring them up in the good morals, we will not bring back our glory. And if people in general do not go back to the law of Allah, the disaster and the nuclear disaster will affect and will take place. Then Almighty Allah says, that which has been revealed to you from your Lord is the truth. It is the truth for all people. Islam instructs Muslims to be good and to have good in this world and in the world to come. Some Muslims thought that Islam is only about the hereafter, but this is a big mistake. The Holy Quran says, and of them there are some people who say, our Lord, give us in this world that which is good, and in the hereafter that which is good. So, Islam is a religion that combines between this world and the world to come. It is a realistic religion. The Prophet, peace be upon him, used to say, it is a bad thing to sleep with hunger, or hunger is a very bad thing to sleep with. And the Prophet used to say, I seek refuge in Allah from hunger, for it is an evil bedfellow, and I seek refuge in Allah from treachery. And it is narrated that the Prophet said, poverty was about to be a kind of disbelief. So, this is the truth from Almighty Allah, but most people do not know. When this chapter was revealed, most people were ignorant of it, were ignorant people. But because of the Prophet's persistence and forbearance, then most of the Arabs accepted Islam, and the Prophet did not leave this life except after uniting all the Arabs, and except after all the Arabs accepted Islam. Then after that, and after him, his companions spread Islam east and west until Islam reached China and the suburbs of Paris. In less than 50 years, Islam and the Arabs did all this and united half of the ancient world. The Chinese became a brother to the Senegalese. The French became a brother to the Turkish and to the Arab. No discrimination, no preferences to one race over the another, nor to one people over the other. O people, we created you from a single pair of a male and a female, and made you into nations or peoples and tribes that you may know one another, that you may know each other. The most honorable of you in the sight of Allah is the most righteous of you. Righteousness or piety is knowledge and actions, knowledge and good deeds. So this is a divine principle. It's based on these sublime meanings. So now all states and all countries cannot deny these principles. On the contrary, they are seeking to achieve these principles. And many of them claim to seek to achieve these principles, but they hide their colonial desires. Islam and Muslims sought to achieve these principles sincerely, not seeking any worldly gains. Muslims should follow their leader, even if he is a black person. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "You should listen and obey your leader and your ruler, even if he was an Ethiopian black person." So, there are many states and many countries in this time who have not this level of equality. Islam is a theory and a practice as well. Islam not an ideal religion. It came with these theories or these facts and implemented them in reality. So that which has been revealed to you from your Lord is the truth, but most people know not. Yet the Prophet was not hopeless. The Prophet did not lose hope. Despite the fact the Holy Quran said that those who disbelieve, it is the same to them whether you warn them or not, and whether you ask forgiveness for them or ask not forgiveness for them. If you ask forgiveness 70 times for them, it is the same. Allah will not forgive them because they disbelieved in Allah and His Messenger. Yet the Prophet said, "I will ask forgiveness for them more than 70 times." So this is the morals of the Prophet. This is the mercy of the Prophet. These are the true scholars who transform the barren desert into verdant and dry gardens. So if Muslims change the verdant and dry gardens into barren deserts, then they are contradicting Islam. And they are distorting Islam. Then, in the following verses, Almighty Allah is mentioning many universal signs and many scientific proofs that prove and that guide to His existence, or to the fact of His existence and to the fact of resurrection. So this chapter speaks about many logical and scientific evidence that prove resurrection and that prove that after you die and after your body dissolves in this earth, you will be resurrected to be brought to account, and after that to live a more sublime and more developed life. The spring worm, for example, dies for some time and then it comes, or it is resurrected again. So these worms are a very clear example about resurrection. So these verses are telling us that we are not like animals. We will not finish after death as animals, not at all. We will have a different life, an eternal life after this life. So, which is better? This faith or the faith of atheism, which says that you will die and you will finish and nothing after that? Islam tells you that you will be transformed into a greater life, into a better life, if you follow Allah's guidance. And the next life compared to this life is similar to the drop compared to the sea, because that life is unimaginable. And your rank and your status in the hereafter is based on your uprightness in this world and based on your good deeds in the worldly life. So you have in your own self a warner and a preacher that alerts you when you want to commit a sin, and that tries to transform you into a good person and an upright person. So which is better? Which doctrine is the Holy Quran speaks about or starts speaking about these signs? It says Allah is the one who raised the heavens without any pillars that you can see. This earth that we live on is one of the planets in this world. And there are some planets which much, much larger than this earth. The sun is bigger than the earth 1,300,000 times. So who is carrying these planets in the universe, in the space, without anything that holds it from beneath or above? Some people say it's a gravity. Yes, but what is this gravity? Who founded this law? What is electricity? The electrical current. There are some atheists who say, let me see God to believe in him. But, okay, do you see electricity? Don't you believe in its existence? The sun itself is there, but you cannot stare at it. Your sight makes you see the sun in the size of a bread loaf. So, how do you trust your sight? So, your eye cannot show you the truth at all times. Also, for example, the electrical current is flowing in the wires, and you cannot distinguish between one which has electricity and another which has not. But you will know by the effect of this wire or that. Do you know the reality of your soul? If you are unaware or unable to know the reality of your own soul and the sun, which is one of Allah's creatures, how dare you want to see him? Or how dare you ignore his existence? How do you want to see him with this eye that cannot recognize or cannot see some of Allah's creatures? So this indicates that your question is a question of stubbornness, a question of someone who does not seek the truth, but someone who is only stubborn and does not want to get true knowledge. All praise be to Allah, the Lord of all creation.